Most of the time that Matt or Wendy or Alberto or I are up here, we're usually teaching in the context of a larger teaching series. So 2 weeks ago, we finished up our series on character called Louder Than Words. Earlier in the year, if you remember, we started off the year with the Margin series, which was super cool, and I think we need to do that every year at the beginning of the year. But the Margin series that happened earlier in this year, we did Up In and Out, we did Upside Down Kingdom, Tell Your Story. So we try to come up with ways for us to spend some time, kind of camp out on different ideas in the context of a teaching series, and so we speak out of that. Today is not one of those days. So today is a solo standalone. Next Sunday, we're going to be kicking off a new teaching series called The Making of a People, the way in which God forms his people and calls us into serving him and into mission with him. We're going to be looking at the Old Testament and the way God created and called out a people in that series. So Making of a People, that series starts next week. So today is just a time for us to reflect a little bit on Everyday Church, on who we are, what God is up to through us. And you may not know this, but 7 years ago this month, the first little group of 12 or 13 folks, Everyday Church, first gathering of people, we met in an apartment here in the neighborhood 7 years ago from this month. So this is like our anniversary, like birthday, whatever. Yeah, woohoo, there you go. So this is like our anniversary, like our birthday. So I thought this is a great Sunday for us to spend a little bit of time talking about Everyday Church, who we are, what God's up to, what he's called us to, get a little bit of an idea of the things that we really prioritize and care about as a church. And so that's what we're going to do today. So three or four months ago, a question started rattling around in my head. And basically this question: are we playing to our strengths? Are we playing to our strengths? Is Everyday Church playing to our strengths or playing to its strengths? And I wasn't really sure when the question came into my mind. I didn't know the answer to that question. And I wasn't really sure, like, even why that question was in my mind. Like, what is this about? And so I started processing and praying and reflecting and trying to figure out if this was maybe a question from God, if God was sort of inserting this into my mind. And then what I come to realize is a similar sort of question was hitting a lot of our leaders at Everyday Church, that a lot of us were processing this idea of who we are and what our strengths are as a church, and are we functioning in a way that is utilizing those strengths and being faithful to God in the strengths that we have as a church. And when you start to realize that lots of different people are processing the same sort of question, it's confirmation that God is up to something and trying to get us to think a certain way or really begin to process some deep stuff. And so today, we're going to take some time just to reflect on Everyday Church. So for some of you, you've been around for a really long time, and so some of this will just be a reminder to you. Some of this stuff, if you're brand new or you've just been around for a little while, some of this stuff will be new, and hopefully for all of us, very encouraging and a reminder of who we are as a church and what God is up to in us and through us. So hopefully encouraging time together. So are we playing to our strengths as a church? So I don't know if you've ever encountered that concept, like strengths and playing to your strengths. I think I first ran into this idea in team sports when I was a kid, playing in school. So I love football, and I played in school football as much as I could, and off and on, less these days. My body doesn't respond the same way to football as it used to. But all through my life, as much as I can, trying to play sports and trying to play football. And very much into it. And I was thinking about this idea. I think we spend a lot of time, kind of, this is important in football and sports, figuring out what your strengths are. What are you good at? Like, what position should you be playing? So I realized that when I was in middle school, the coach of our football team in middle school, for some reason, decided that maybe I would make a good tight end. So if you don't know anything about football, then this might not make any sense to you, and that's totally okay. You can just zone me out for a second. But for those of you who might know a little bit about football, my coach decided that maybe I would make a good offensive tight end. So the cool thing is I love to catch the ball. I was actually pretty good at catching the ball, so that was good. The problem is tight ends don't always catch the ball. Tight ends oftentimes function as linemen, who are the giant dudes in the, like, crazy big people like in the middle that are like crashing into each other or whatever. So in practice, they do have all these drills for the linemen, and I had to do those drills with them. So I was like, I'm good at catching, but now I'm being like battered around by these guys. There's one that I remember where they would all stand in like two lines, and then you would just run through all these linemen, and it was their job to just try to knock you over. So it was like the whole way through there. I am good at catching. That's a strength. I can catch the ball. I am not good at bashing my wimpy little body into giant people and actually doing something that's good for the team. So I realized, like, okay, there's strengths and there's weaknesses, but I don't know what my coach is thinking here. If his idea was maybe he doesn't have any strengths, maybe his strengths will emerge in the crucible of pain, or maybe he should just quit football altogether, and that's really what he, and I didn't get it. Oddly enough, as a tight end, that team, I broke my femur, and it took me out of football for like 3 years. So clearly, being a tight end was a bad choice. So anyways, this idea of playing to our strengths, of having strengths and having weaknesses, I think we can all kind of relate to that. It's a very human sort of thing. We have strengths and we have weaknesses, and we need to spend some time processing through what it looks like for us as humans to play to our strengths, to understand what those are and to invest in those and to begin to live that out in our own life. It's not just true of individuals. It's equally true of teams and organizations and even churches. And so that's what we're going to get into a little bit today. But to say that we have strengths as a church isn't just like a static statement or comment. It isn't just a statement of fact. Hey, we have strengths. Okay, going our way. To say that we have strengths as a church, it calls into question a lot of things. If we really do have strengths, what are those strengths? And then this question of, are we playing to our strengths? Are we functioning in a way as a church that utilizes those strengths and allows God to work through us in these ways that we're naturally just really healthy and beautiful and function really well? And so we have to spend some time with this idea of, are we as everyday church functioning in a way that utilizes the strengths that we have? Are we being obedient to God, faithful to Him, and the things that He's given us to do in our context? So fortunately for us, Scripture helps us out here a little bit. Scripture is full of this idea of the church and the way the church functions. And so today, we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at the picture that we can get from Scripture related to this idea of the church. What is the church and what it's all about? And so we're going to look at some analogies, some comparisons or images that the Scripture gives us of the church. And then we're going to look at some specific examples of some different churches and get an idea of some of their strengths and that sort of stuff. So that's what we're going to spend some time doing. So to help us get our minds around this, I've got a little aid or a little activity for us to do. So if you would take that blank piece of paper out. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to fold it in half. So everybody fold your piece of paper in half. Either way is fine. So fold it in half. And then fold it in half the other way. So it should look something like this. Got that? I'm testing your strengths. Paper folding strengths. Okay, now we're going to create a bird out of this. And I have no idea. Okay, so fold it should look like that. All right, now open it back up, and when you open it up, you should have four boxes. If you don't have four boxes, I don't know what you did, because you folded it twice, and that should make four boxes. Okay, so you should have four boxes. Now, here's what we're going to do. I already have mine written out there, but I want you to write in each of the boxes. So the top left-hand box, write the church. Top left-hand box, the church. Top right-hand box, Everyday Church Strengths, or you can do ECC, Everyday Christian Church Strengths. So the church, Everyday Church Strengths. Bottom left-hand, who we are. And bottom right-hand, what we do. So four boxes, the church, Everyday Church Strengths, who we are, and what we do. All right? Okay, so you have permission while I'm talking, to draw pictures, to doodle, to do whatever you want with this piece of paper. But the goal is, my hope for you is that you will have something that you can leave with that will help you process this stuff through the course of this week and spend some time praying about some of these different things. So you're going to take some notes, and I'll kind of let you know stuff that we'll be talking about in each of these different areas as we go along. So hold on to that, and you can use it for doodling and note-taking and whatnot. All right? So let's get started. So as we're working through this stuff this morning, my hope is that this will give you some ideas about the church, about our strengths, about who we are and what we do as a church to take with us and kind of get us all on a similar sort of page. So, all right, in Scripture, we find a variety of different analogies for the church, so different pictures and images and comparisons that Scripture gives us of the church. And we're going to look at actually three of kind of the big ones that we find in Christian Scripture. So the three that we're going to be looking at, and you can write these up in the left-hand box, the church box. The three analogies we're going to look at real quickly are the body, building, and you can write these down, body, and building, and family. And this morning as I was practicing, I realized if you say these too fast together, it's body, building, family. We're not really a bodybuilding family, so don't, strike that from your memory. Don't read them together too fast. Body and building and family. These are three different analogies that we get in Scripture. Okay, so we're not going to be able to dive super deep into any one of these, but at different times over the years, and we will in the future, talk about these different concepts at different points. So these analogies, these comparisons, these images that we get in Scripture that help us understand a little bit about what the church is, how it functions, what its value, its strengths, the role that it plays in the world. These analogies let us dive into some of that stuff. So one other really important piece of information that is really easy to miss these days, and I think it's been this way for a really long time, but when Scripture uses the term church, so you can write in just a second, you can write this in your box too as a reminder. When Scripture uses the term church, it's not talking about a physical building. So if you were to say, I'm going to church, a lot of people think this way, I'm going to church. They're talking about the building down the street, and we've got a lot of church buildings in our neighborhood. The thinking is, oh, that's the church, that building right there is the church. When Scripture's talking about the church, it's not talking about a building. It's not talking about an event like this. So a lot of times you'll think, well, we meet in a school, but I'm going to church. That means I'm coming to an event or an activity that is sort of designated as the church. When Scripture is talking about church, it's not talking about a building, and it's not talking about an event or a particular activity. It's talking about the people. The church is the people. And you see this through the analogies we're going to look at and all through New Testament, all through Christian Scripture, this idea that the church is the people. So you can write in that box, maybe down at the bottom or something, church equals people, just as a good reminder. And we have to keep it in front of ourselves all the time because we fall into the pattern of church being a kind of way of thinking of a building or an event, something like that. So important to hold that in your mind. Everyday church is not a physical building, and it's not an event that happens at any given or particular time. Everyday church is you and me and all the people that make up this congregation. Okay, so let's jump into the analogies, body and building and family. So why did the writers in Scripture choose those three analogies? What is it about them that they chose those analogies to help us understand this idea of the church? I think it's because they paint a really important picture for us, and they emphasize some really important truths about the church and about being God's people, and it gives us a good idea about the makeup and function and a lot of sort of things that we'll see as we're working down through this stuff. So the first one that we're going to look at is the body, this idea of the church being a body. So this is from 1 Corinthians. Just read a passage really quick. This is Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing to a particular church. That it's a letter that he's writing to a church in a city called Corinth. So this comes from the first from 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. So take a look at this this kind of funny thing that Paul talks about here. So just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Jesus. For we were all baptized, talking about us, we're all baptized into one spirit so as to form one body, whether we're Jews or we're not Jews, whether we're slaves or we're free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul is using this idea of a body to illustrate to his audience, the Christians in Corinth, and then that spread, and now we're reading it. So to illustrate to the audience that there's something about this idea of the body that we need to get a hold of, because it communicates something really important. We are the body of Christ. The crazy thing is, if you read down, I encourage you, any of these scriptures, and kind of read and look at the context of them. If you read just after this, it's hard to know in scripture when they're like making fun of something or kind of telling a joke. It's really hard because it's such old writing and we don't really think of scripture that way. But here's the deal. This is goofy. Paul is being really goofy. So he goes on from here and he says, so let's imagine that the whole body were an eyeball. Okay, that's weird. Like if it was just a big eyeball up here, that'd be weird. Or let's imagine if it was just a giant ear sitting up here, like that would be really strange. And then catch this. What if that eyeball and that ear started fighting against one another and saying, I'm more important than you. No, I'm more important than you. Or what if the hand and the foot started fighting with each other? And he's painting this goofy picture of this totally dysfunctional body that just, it doesn't work that way. And we all know it. And so he's giving us this image of that. It doesn't work like that. We know what is up with the body. It has to work together. There's lots of different parts, and those parts come together to form one body. And so it is the same with you, he says. And this is what he says right after that goofy sort of analogy that he's giving there. He writes this, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You, followers of Jesus, you are a body. You are the body of Jesus present in this world. And there are a variety of other passages in scripture, and I'd really encourage you to look those up and kind of get an idea of this idea, a bigger picture of this idea of the body. But it's full. Scripture has lots of different passages that talk about and relate this idea of the church, you and I, being the body of Jesus. So here's some of the stuff that we can learn from this image of the church as a body, the church as the body of Jesus. So we all have bodies. This is kind of a nice illustration. We all understand it because we all have bodies and they have different parts. And those parts are very different and they do different roles and have different jobs in our body. Some of those parts are really good at some stuff and really terrible at other things. We know that. We wouldn't use our elbow to open a jar, or maybe you do, like somehow. But we know that different parts of our body have different functions and different parts of our body are really good at some stuff and not so good at others. We understand this. We know this to be true. And we get the same idea when we take that concept and we bring it into the church, this idea of the body of Christ. We are many, but we form one body. And we're all very different. And yet we have a unique role to play in this body as we come together as one. And if that body is going to function in a really healthy way, then those parts of that body need to love and care for one another. They need to watch out for one another. They need to provide for one another and do their role and connect and stay connected and work in unity. That's what makes a body really healthy, when all the different parts are working the way that they're supposed to. And all of this is true of us, of everyday church. We're all very different, you and I, all of us. We're all very different. We have different strengths and abilities, different skills. We have different experience, different past, things that God has taught us, things that we've gone through the course of our life, all very different. In our case, we even speak different languages in this room, the number of different languages that are here. We're all very different. But when we come together as the body of Christ, when we're united in that way, then something extraordinary begins to happen. And God can bring some unique things out of us, out of our life, together as the body of Christ. Okay, so that is the analogy of the body. Next one up, the building. So I just said at the beginning the church is not a building, but the analogy is that the church is a building. So here's what's up. The church is not a building, but Scripture talks about the church and relates it to this idea of a building. So when Scripture is talking about a building, it's not talking about a physical building. It's not talking about a specific location that is designated, oh, that over there, that's the church. That's not what Scripture is talking about when it's talking about this idea of the building. It's talking about a spiritual building, this image of this spiritual structure that's being constructed by God. So take a look at what Peter writes in his letter. So Peter was a friend of Jesus, a close follower, and a major player in the church throughout his life after Jesus left. He wrote a letter, a couple of letters at one point, and this is what he writes in his first letter. So you are coming to Jesus, you're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. Okay, so a cornerstone is like the first stone that you would put down when you're building a structure. It's the first one that you put down. And Peter says, Jesus is the first. He's living. He's alive. He's the first stone that's being placed. And then he goes on to say, he was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for this great honor. And you also, like living stones, are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So Jesus is laid down, and then we, like living stones, are being set up around him to construct this spiritual structure. And it refers to that structure as his temple or his spiritual house. So this idea, it's kind of weird, this like we're living stones and we're being set down and built into something. It's kind of an odd, especially if you're not, you know, connect, you don't even notice the way buildings are built, or if that's not your thing, then this is kind of an odd analogy. But the imagery in this concept is beautiful and very rich. So think about it. Some of the implications of this. If we are together, put together, being built into God's house, his temple. And when we look at scripture, the idea of temple was this place where God dwelled, the place where God went to meet his people, where he lived and existed. So if we are being built into a spiritual structure that is God's home, God's dwelling place, the place where God hangs out, the place where he meets his people, then that means something very significant, that God is with us. And this scripture is full of this idea that God, he wants us to get this. He's not a God who's far away. He's a God who's with us, particularly with his people and even in us, dwelling in us. So go on from there. If God is with us and in us, if people want to meet God, if people want to encounter God, where do they go? Where do people go if they want to experience God in this world and in this place? They come to you and I. Because God is with us and present, and if they want to encounter God, when they meet us, they're encountering God in such an extraordinary way. A gift from God to the world that he is present in his people right in this neighborhood, right in this place, wherever we go, God is there, present with the world. And scripture is full of this concept that we're God's representatives. It calls us his representatives, calls us his ambassadors. The idea of the body of Christ, that we are actually Jesus' existence, his presence now. In the spirit of Jesus dwells in us. We are Jesus' body present in this world to love and to care and to serve and to do all the things that Jesus came to do during his life. We are that presence in the world. And just like all the different parts, all the parts of a body are different, and just like the building pieces, all the different stones, all the different parts that go into building a building, those are all very different. We're all super different, and yet we're being brought together and united into this body, into this building, to be God's presence in this world, to give a gift to the world of God's presence here. Okay, so the last of the three analogies is family. Let's take a look at this idea of family. Now, the crazy thing about the family is this idea of the church as a family. It's a little bit more difficult to give a really simple, quick scripture that kind of shows this. Here's why. Because it's everywhere. It's baked into scripture all over the place. Anywhere you read in scripture, you see people referring to one another as brother and sister. God is referred to over and over again as our Father. This concept of the church, of God's people being a family, it's in there everywhere. It's baked into scripture and it's baked into our faith, fundamental idea of our faith. So take a look at what John is, another friend, a close follower of Jesus. He wrote the book of John in scripture. Take a look at what he wrote at the beginning of his book. So, but to all who believed Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Scripture uses this phrase over and over and over and over again, that we are the children of God, implying family, that God is our Father, we are his children, we're brothers and sisters, we're even brothers and sisters with Jesus, that this idea of family is so incredibly important in this idea. We're adopted into the family of God, being formed into a new family, not a normal family, being adopted and formed into a new family, a family that loves the way God's family loves, a family that is gracious and accepting and sacrificial and serves the way God's family serves. And it's in that family that we begin to welcome people in to experience the love and acceptance that God offers to the world through that family. And I don't think there's much of a greater picture of how God wants the church to work than this idea of family, because it's everywhere that we read in Scripture. Now, you might be saying to yourself, and this is true for me, my family's kind of jacked up. Families are weird and messy and awful sometimes, and it's really confusing, and so we're supposed to be a family, but I've never known a really healthy family, and so we get stuck on this thing because we're all broken. We're all very different. We're all very broken. And for some of us, we're kind of selfish, rolling through life kind of selfish, having a hard time getting outside of our own experience and our own needs and desires and beginning to care for and love and serve the people around us. But when you experience the kind of family that the way God's family functions, when we begin to function that way, then that is a gift to the world that God is offering of love and acceptance and welcoming, of people walking alongside of you through all kinds of different difficult situations, people to rejoice with you and celebrate. It's a gift beyond measure to the world. Okay, so body, building, and family, three analogies. All three given to us to help us get a picture of what it means. I can begin to get a picture, an imagery of what it means to be the church. So let's jump into some of the examples in Scripture. And Scripture is full of examples of different churches. So when you look at the book of Acts, so New Testament Scripture, Christian Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books are about Jesus' life, accounts of Jesus' life. Immediately following that, you have the book of Acts, which we spent some time in the Upside Down Kingdom talking about the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is the early account of the church. So Jesus leaves earth, ascends into heaven, sends his spirit to his followers, and that spirit helps create the first church, the first believers that kind of gather together as the church. And we see that, we read about that in Acts happening in Jerusalem. And then as you move through the book of Acts, this account, this history, we see more and more different churches popping up in different parts of the world. And we get a picture of these churches being different, having different strengths and challenges and things, different contexts that we find them in. So we're going to look through, just real quickly, talk through some of the different churches that we run into in the book of Acts. So the first is Jerusalem. That's where it happened. That's where the first church, original church, starts. And Jerusalem, I don't know if you've thought about characteristics of this church, but some very cool stuff. They were incredibly generous with one another, to the point where people in the church were like selling property and possessions, and they were giving that to one another because there were people in their group that were struggling or suffering or didn't have enough. And so people would sell things, and they would take financially, materially taking care of one another. Incredibly generous. Not characteristic of all churches throughout time. An extraordinary amount of generosity. There was even a point where the widows in their community weren't being taken care of very well, and so the church created a ministry that would then take care of the widows so to make sure that they got enough food and they were provided for because they didn't have people to provide for them. So we see this incredibly generous church in Jerusalem. So, a little bit later, a church develops up north of Jerusalem in a town called Antioch. The church in Antioch was incredibly multi-ethnic. When we begin to look at this church, it had people from all over the world that were a part of this church. The ethnicities and nationalities represented that church beyond what is normal even in that time, especially in that time. So incredibly multi-ethnic. And along with that, they were sending missionaries to different parts of the world to teach about the kingdom of God and all that Jesus had accomplished in his life and the gift that God had offered us through his son. And so they're sending missionaries and providing for people to go to different parts of the world in order to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. And as you move through the rest of Acts, you start to see other churches, some of them that were about fighting injustice that was taking place in their community and their context. Some of them were standing up against like the lies and deception that develop in society around us. They took it as their cause to fight against, to stand against those lies and that deception. And over again, we see different churches that were in different contexts using particular strengths as they figured out what it looked like to be the church in that context. So you leave the book of Acts, and following the book of Acts in Scripture, you have a series of called epistles, which is just a weird word for letter. You have all these different letters that were written, and many of them were written to specific churches. And in those letters written to a specific church in a specific town or area, you start to get a sense of their unique strengths. And so some of those churches were incredibly generous, and they would send money to other parts of the world where there were famines or other things going on. God had made them, Scripture says, made them rich in all sorts of different ways so that they could be generous to people around the world. There are churches that were really great at mentoring young leaders and raising up leaders that then would be leaders in that church, in area churches. There were churches that we see sort of battling against injustice or different kinds of dangerous teaching in society. And all of these different sorts of churches with different strengths and different weaknesses, and trying to figure out what it looked like to use those strengths to be faithful to God, learning to play to their strengths. And Scripture, these accounts of Scripture, I encourage you to, as you're reading through Scripture, to kind of watch for it. You start to hear about believers in a certain place, you're reading about it, and things that they were really good at, or things that they really were called to focus on as a church. So learning to play to their strengths in their unique context. So nearly 2,000 years ago, we are here, Everyday Church, in a very unique context, trying to figure out what does it mean for us to have strengths and then to play to those strengths. So those analogies of body and building and family and the other analogies that we see in Scripture and the examples that you find of different churches throughout kind of early time in the church, we start to get examples that help us in figuring out what does it look like to faithfully obey and be obedient to God with our strengths. Okay, so that all squeezes into box one on your, I hope you got like great notes in there. So that's box one, the church. So let's shift to box number two, moving into everyday church's strengths. So here's the thing. I would like your help in this part. I have a variety of different things that I see as strengths of the church, but I know that you guys do as well. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a minute to just kind of be quiet, chill for a minute, and close your eyes, whatever's helpful, and just think about things that you've noticed as strengths at this church. So it's maybe something you've experienced or something you watched and witnessed here at Everyday Church. So take some time, think about strengths that you've noticed about Everyday Church, and just you can write those down in that box. In a little bit, I'm going to ask you to be bold and shout those out. Okay? So I'll give you a minute. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I need you to be courageous and shout out some of those strengths, and you can kind of take notes as other people are saying stuff. Feel free to shout out English or Spanish, and then maybe somebody can translate for us as we're shouting those out. All right, strengths that you've experienced, noticed, observed, Everyday Church.
We have fun together.
Hey, we have fun together. That's a good strength. It's true. Generosity, okay.
Holding and caring for each other in our challenges.
It's good. Walking alongside of each other through difficulties in life. It's good. Family stuff. We're good at family stuff. We are. Taking care of one another's families, kids, getting involved in kids' lives. Family stuff.
We're not judgmental.
Not judgmental, yeah. I think that connects with walking with people through difficulties. It's not about judging, it's about being present in people's lives. That's good. Community-centered, so meaning our community at large or really connected as a community of people?
Both.
Okay, that's good. Good. That's good. Yes, yeah, so we care about our community. We're not a church that just meets here. We're a church that is in Idwood, Washington Heights, and Upper Manhattan, and Bronx, and we care about what's going on around here. And we're a community. We're connected and care for one another. Other stuff. Yeah. Yep. I think that's true. So adaptability, Matt, Kayla was talking about, we're kind of reflective. We're willing to say, okay, God, show us what we're doing well and what we're not, and what does it look like to be transformed, to grow in our capacity to love and care for and serve our community, which I think is very true. Yeah. Other stuff. Yeah.
Rest.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, we've spent time from day one talking about Sabbath and rest and trying to function as a church in a way that doesn't overburden people, allows people to, and encourages people to have time off and rest well, not overcommit or overfunction. It's good. Other stuff. Multi-ethnic, yes. So you might not realize this, but very few churches have really significant diversity in their presence, in that body or that congregation, and we really do. And not only do we have it, but we prioritize it. It's really important that we reflect the diversity that we find in the community around us. So that's huge. All right, any other stuff?
I didn't know we were raising hands. Sorry.
You don't have to, it's okay.
I don't know if this is different from family stuff, but we just take care of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think normal life sort of stuff even. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
We take care of each other. Look at that. Perfect example. We staged that. We talked about that earlier. Later, he's going to come up and start like rubbing my feet and wiping the sweat off my head. All right. That's a good list. We don't need any more. But if you have more, yeah. Flexible but disciplined. Yeah. Yeah, we certainly, you notice in the way we function, we're very loose about a lot of things. But that doesn't mean we're slacking off. We don't care about things. There's things that are really important to us. Yeah, that's good. Welcoming, it's good, yep. It's actually one of the biggest feedback points that we get with new people coming in. Like, wow, these people are really friendly. Some people, they're not looking for friendly, they're looking to hide. But we're good at that, sorry, that's a strength. We love each other and we care for one another, we welcome people and connect, and that's who we are. So, yeah, I think that's very true. Melissa, laughing. All right. That's a good list. You guys covered all the ones that I was going to mention if you forgot them, because you have strengths that I don't want us to forget about. So there are lots of different things that I hope you got to jot some of those down on your piece of paper. And I really would encourage you to kind of spend time thinking about, praying about our strengths and praying that God would give us wisdom and clarity on how to use our strengths and what that looks like to be a unique church here that has these set of strengths. But there are lots of different ways that we could, things that we could focus on, places that we could put our energy into, lots of different ways that we could function as a church. But the hard work for us and for the leaders of Everyday Church is to figure out how do we make sure we're functioning in a way that utilizes our strengths, the things that we're naturally good at, the things that God has given and brought into this body, into this family, to make sure that we're utilizing those things in healthy and God-honoring ways. So as an example of this, you will notice that we're meeting downstairs in the cafeteria today. Maybe you didn't notice. I don't know what's up. But you probably noticed that we're meeting down here in the cafeteria and not upstairs in the auditorium. So here's the thing. So over the last couple of months, we've been processing this question of what does it look like to play to our strengths? And we recognize some of our strengths, hospitality, welcoming, connecting. And the question came up among leadership community and different people at Everyday Church, are we able to really function that way upstairs in the auditorium? And as we spent time talking and processing and praying about that, we realized that there was some flexibility and things we couldn't do up there that we can do down here. Much more flexible environment and how we arrange it. Much easier to have food when we have food and drinks and that sort of stuff. It creates a closer sort of atmosphere. So there's a way that we can function in this room that maybe plays more to our strengths of hospitality and welcoming and caring, connecting. And so we, the leadership community, processed through this, decided let's give it a shot. Let's spend some time in this room functioning down here and let's just see, does this really allow to play to our strengths? And a great example for us of what it looks like to hold this who we are in our mind and be looking at the way we're functioning and saying, is this true? Is this helpful? Is this playing to our strengths? Is God able to use these particular strengths in this way that we're functioning or this space that we're meeting in or whatever? And really, I think a good example. So we're meeting down here, kind of going forward, and we're learning and we're practicing. We've got ideas about things that we can do down here to kind of make things look different and whatever. So we've got some fun ideas, but we're learning as we go as a church. What does it look like to try to better and better play to our strengths and learn along the way and adapt and adjust as we go? So great example of what this stuff means. So I'm sure this isn't the last like change that we'll make or thing that we'll do to try to play more and more to our strengths, but we're going to do it in a way that's very informed and collaborative and working together and processing and praying and allowing God to shape us and mold us as we seek as a church to know how to utilize our strengths. Okay, so that was, which box was that? Everyday Church Strengths? Got some strengths? Okay, so let's jump down to the third box, who we are. So the first thing to write in this box is a thing we talk a lot about. You can write this in that box. Life-changing relationships with Jesus and the family of God. So life-changing relationships with Jesus and the family of God. So we are committed as a church to this idea of life-changing or life-giving relationships, particularly our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with the family of God, with one another. This is like fundamental understanding of how the church functions for us. At Everyday Church, this is just critical for us to function in a way that accentuates life-changing, life-giving relationship with Jesus and with one another, with the family of God. And the idea is that it is in the context of relationship with Jesus, in the context of a relationship with the family of God, with one another, that the promises of God, the blessings and the promises that he offers us, many, if not all of those things, are experienced through a relationship with Jesus and through a relationship with one another. That is the way that God often chooses to do the things that he talks about in Scripture, of comfort and love and support and care and calling us out into greater and greater impact in our world. A lot of that stuff happens in the context, certainly, of a relationship with Jesus and being a part of his family. And so this idea of life-changing relationship with Jesus and the family of God is sort of foundational, fundamental for us in the way that we function. And it shapes the way the decisions that we make and the priorities that we hold as a church, the way we spend our time and our energy and our resources, the way we organize and function as a church. Life-changing, life-giving relationships. That's what we're all about. So under that sort of tagline, there are what I'll call our values, or three sort of primary, big picture sort of values. And those three values are these. So we're committed. These are things that we're deeply committed to. So we're committed to being multi-ethnic, multi-economic, and multi-generational. So you can write that underneath the life-changing relationship stuff. So the first one, multi-ethnic, multi-economic, multi-generational. Essentially, the idea is that we want to reflect and should, as a church and as a kingdom of God, reflect the diversity of the world around us. If we all look the same in one particular way and the world is very different around us, then we're not doing a very good job of reaching and connecting and inviting people into the family of God who are different than us. So it's really important for us to function in a way that invites and welcomes lots of different sorts of people in, because that's the way God made us and what he intends for his kingdom and his church to be like. The next one, emotionally healthy relationships. So if we're committed to relationships with Jesus and with one another, those need to be emotionally healthy relationships. We're not talking about, hey, yeah, we're all friends. We can't stand each other and we're constantly hurting each other. That isn't the way it works. We're committed to emotionally healthy relationships. So what does it look like for us to love one another well? For us to be close and to love each other well. And so we invest in things related to learning how to love one another well and learning how to function in emotionally healthy relationships. And the third sort of value here is the wellness, and the wording here, it is hard to capture what we mean in this, but the wellness of our community. And this isn't like healthcare. It's so much more. It's this idea of shalom that we've been talking about over the last year or two, that shalom is this idea of wellness, of wholeness, of flourishing, of thriving. That's what we want for our community, for all the people in our community, this shalom, this deep, abiding wellness and wholeness and thriving and flourishing, because that's the way God intended for his creation to be. And so we're committed to that in our context, in our community, that this shalom would come to the world around us. And what does it look like for us to function in a way that promotes this shalom, this peace and wholeness and wellness of the world around us? So those are what I would say, the kind of top three values that we really big picture, really important stuff for us. And so whatever we're doing as a church, we're running through a filter of those values, Are we functioning in a way and doing things in a way and saying things in a way that hold these values up? And that is critical to us. So that's part of the reason we do things in English and Spanish, because we're multi-ethnic. Our context, it's really important for us to be aware of the languages around, the heart languages around us, and figure out ways to integrate those into how we function as a church. We've got a lot to do in that, in all of these areas, lots to grow in, but it's really important for us to do and find ways to reflect this stuff. It's why we do kids ministry in the other room, because we invest in our kids. It's why our emotionally healthy relationships class, we have a class that we do at least once a year coming up soon that's really important for us to learn how to love one another well and develop really healthy relationships. Multi-ethnic church study that we started with the leaders in the spring, we're going to be rolling out to more and more of you guys in the near future. So these are ways in which we can live into and prioritize these values. The cool thing about this is, I don't know if you've ever felt like you needed to do something, you were like, oh, I hate that, I don't want to have to do that. Why is God asking me to do that? These are not those. These are things that we're already passionate about, things we already care deeply about. So God has called us as a people to come together and do things that we really love and care about anyways. And so this is a joy for us to come together as the family of God, as body of Christ, as a spiritual house where God dwells and function in this particular way. Okay, so that's who we are. It gives you an idea of just what we prioritize, what we care about in that who we are box. All right, so last box here. We're almost wrapped up with this paper. So last box, what we do. So here's what I want you to do. In the what we do box, draw a big triangle. So you can fill that mostly up with a big triangle. This is the best way for me to paint a picture for kind of what we do, how we function as a church. So, now this doesn't cover everything we do in our individual lives. This is thinking about the organized stuff that Everyday Church does. And the idea here is that Everyday Church sort of organizes certain things. There's lots of stuff we do in our individual lives, but Everyday Church organizes certain things. And I just want to give you a picture of what some of those main organized things are. So in that triangle, in the top, just above the triangle, you can write, I think we have a triangle. There you go. Do that on your paper. So right up at the top. And in over on the bottom right hand and out on the other side, up in and out. So up in and out is a way that we think about it. It's a picture, an image, a language for us to think about the kind of top three priorities or the way we sort of function in our relationship with Jesus and in our faith. So here's your assignment. Go back and watch the Up In and Out series from earlier this year. Simple. So I'm not going to replay it for you now. We'll be here all day. So go back and watch those. And that will give you a good idea of this up, in, and out concept. But here's the basics. I'll give you a gist of this if you've not run into this or heard us talk about this. The idea of up, in, and out. Up is our relationship, our connection with God. In is our connection with one another. So inside the family of God, our connection with one another. And out is our relationship and our connection with a community. And the way we interact with our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and the people that we live our normal sort of day-to-day life with. So up, connection with God, in, connection with one another, and out, our connection with the community and the way we serve and interact with the world around us. So what I want to do here is just give you the main sort of things that we do as a church in each of these three categories to help you understand when we are looking at the church, we're saying, how are we functioning in balance in these different priorities? As a church, how are we functioning out and in, up and in and out? And for you individually to be able to look at this and say, okay, what's going on in my connection with God? I don't have a lot going on there with my connection with God. Maybe I'm doing really well within and connecting with the body of Christ, the family of God, but I'm not really doing good with God. Maybe I'm not connecting as much with the community. So it gives us a way to sort of assess or take a snapshot of our own personal lives, which I would encourage you to do this week. Spend some time and just kind of make lists in these different areas. And it's okay to be doing really well in one and not great in the other. That's what we're trying to see. Are there room for or opportunities for us to grow in these different ways? So as Everyday Church, as far as Everyday Church goes, here are the main things that we sort of together organize. So up, Sunday morning. So our Sunday morning activities, when we're gathered here in this sort of space, we're singing songs, we're praying, we're taking communion, we're learning and growing, and a lot of that is oriented towards our relationship with God. So this is very much an up sort of experience together. Prayer initiatives, we do different prayer initiatives through the course of the year, which you'll hear about at different points, ways in which we can work together to be praying and talking to God. And then tonight, the Uptown Worship thing we're doing tonight, this is another one. That's an up experience where we come together with an even larger sort of collection of people from the community and believers in the area, and we sing and talk to God and pray to Him and cry out to Him about different things that are going on in our community and things that we are hearing and experiencing from Him. So that's up stuff. In a relationship with one another, this includes groups. So men's group, women's group, Tuesday lunch group, youth group, different groups that are going on in the church that meet through the week, activities and ways that we connect and build relationships with another. In the past, we've had adventure group and family group and creativity group and other groups that have allowed us to gather together and connect with one another. Classes like Emotionally Healthy Relationships, Financial Peace University, the Multi-Ethnic Church. So we do different classes and Bible studies that happen at different times during the year that are very much in ways that we can connect with one another and learn and grow together. And then picnics, like last week we had a picnic, apple picking coming up, stuff like that. Those are in activities that we do together. And out, ESL, English as a Second Language, the classes that we do, ESL, that's a way that we can give and love and care for our community, a very big need in the city. So our ESL classes, all the stuff we do with youth, young life, youth group, pathways, mentoring, those are all emphasis towards youth, relationship with schools, the way we connect and serve and care for different schools that we're connected to as a church. And then community generosity. So we have different projects and things like that that we're involved in as a church and ways of functioning and being generous with the community. So again, I know you guys are doing lots of other stuff in addition to these. These are the kind of things that as Everyday Church we're organizing and focusing on together. And then the hope is that we're sending each other out back into our lives to connect with God, to connect with one another, and to love and care for the community around us. So what does up, in, and out look like for us as a church, and what does it look like for you individually? Okay, that was a load of information right there. Hopefully you got some stuff in each of those four boxes to be thinking about and praying about. And I just want to wrap up with one last thought before we finish up here. So in my up time with God, I have a study, this thing that I'm going through. And this past week, one of the questions that this study asked or posed the question was just, what is the most wonderful thing that you could experience in this life? It was, what is the most wonderful thing you could experience in this life? And I was like, okay, so I'm praying and talking and journaling and trying to think through this, think deep thoughts or whatever about this question. And gradually as I was thinking about it, the question started to change and shift a little bit into a little different question. And it started to turn into, what's the most wonderful thing that God wants me to experience? So I have things that I want to experience, but what does God want me to experience? And as I started thinking about that and processing that, then that question shifted and it became a question from my heart to God. And this is what that question was. God, what are you dreaming of for Everyday Church? Because as I was processing and thinking and praying about this, Everyday Church just kept coming to my mind. And it occurred to me, like, God, I want to know, what are you dreaming about for Everyday Church? I believe that God is dreaming about and has been dreaming about things for Everyday Church. That He has given us unique gifts and strengths and is dreaming of us using those. And we have and we continue to use those and we will continue to wrestle through and look at what does it look like to take what God has given us and put in us and turn around and use that to be the family of God, to be the body of Christ, to be God's dwelling place in this world. What does it look like for us to function the way God dreams of us functioning? And if we can figure that out and we set our heart on that, then I am convinced that God will do extraordinary things. As He already has, He will continue to do through Everyday Church. That is the opportunity that we have as we grow close together and we learn and we wrestle through what is God calling us to and what are the gifts that we have and how do we use those to be the family of God present, loving and caring for and serving and living in this community the way Jesus would live if He was here. Let me pray for us as we finish up here.